Hoy celebramos el Jueves Santo y celebramos tres regalos del Señor que Jesús nos da en este día, en esta Santa Misa, pero también especialmente en la primera misa que tuvimos aquí en el mundo. Los tres regalos, la Eucaristía, el sacerdocio y el mandamiento amar. Y quiero compartir un poco sobre de estos tres regalos en nuestra Santa Misa hoy. This evening I would like to follow the directive from the Roman Missal, which today is the only day that specifically says exactly what the priest is supposed to preach about. And it's supposed to talk about three things: the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the commandment to love. And it makes a lot of sense, because 2,000 years ago, the very first Holy Thursday that there was, Jesus instituted the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the commandment to love. And so I would like to reflect on those three things. Lately, I have been thinking a great deal about the priesthood. Perhaps it's a product of my being the vocation director of the Archdiocese, but as things open up again, I find myself talking an awful lot about the priesthood to a lot of different people. Last week alone, I met with three potential seminary candidates. One of them asked me if I was happy as a priest. I told him that I can't imagine being anything else, that my priesthood is not my job. It's not something I do. It's who I am. I could never put it aside, never take a day away from it, never leave it behind. A priest, that is what I was born to be, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Every day I thank God for making me a priest, that He has given me a vocation that gets me up at 6 o'clock in the morning and makes me pray and run and talk and lecture and joke and bellyache and bless and anoint until 11 o'clock at night. And He has made me love it. He has made me love Him through it. In a particular sacramental way, the priesthood is the continuation of Jesus' life and ministry. That is what it means when we say that the priest is an alter Christus, that's Latin for another Christ. Yes, we priests are broken, some of us are very broken, just as the apostles were, but by our ordination we are configured to Christ. I remember when I was in second grade and my best friend Tom, his dad died of cancer. And I remember the confusion that was there in our classroom, and the sorrow, the kind of darkness that entered that place. We're kids. We didn't know what to do to be there for Tom, how to be there for him, what to do, what to say. I still remember as if it were yesterday where I was sitting in Mrs. Willman's second grade classroom when Father Charlie came into the room to talk to us and to pray with us about Tom's dad's death. I don't remember anything that Father Charlie said that day, but I do remember that his presence made things better. Our priest was there, and everything was going to be all right. Now that I am a priest, I find myself in Father Charlie's shoes every day. Pope Francis this morning told the priests in Rome that their words don't count much at all compared to their holy and heartfelt presence with their people. The priest must be present in the trials and misfortunes, the triumphs and victories of his people. He must say in every family situation, in the school, the funeral home, the nursing home, the store, the cemetery, the restaurant, he must say with his life, "Here is God." It seems almost foolish, but it is real. The woman struggling to accept that she needs to move into the nursing home, the child bullied on the playground, the couple preparing for marriage, and the couple struggling in marriage, almost on the brink of divorce, the high schooler who thinks she isn't worth anything, and the quarterback of the football team who wants to convert. The kid who suffered a blow and is in the hospital, the man struggling with alcoholism, and the other one who's been sober for 20 years but still needs help dealing with those demons. The widow who has been all alone for an entire COVID year and just needs a voice to say, Jesus. The first confessions, the last confessions, confirmations of youth on fire for the Lord, weddings and baptisms, Bible studies, porch parties, youth group nights, the joyous dinners and endless fiestas. In all these cases, there is the priest who with his life says, here is God. Our priest is always there so long as men continue to say yes to Christ's call with generous and zealous hearts. Our priest is there and everything is going to be all right. We might think about the priests today on this Holy Thursday night who have been there for us. The priests who baptized us, those who have absolved us, those who have given us communion, who have administered weddings and quinceañeras and funerals. The priests who were there when we were lost and could not find our way. The priests whose homilies inspired us to a higher way of life. And ultimately to eternal life. Most of all, the priests who came to our house, sat at our tables, laughed and cried with us, have been there for us and with us. The priesthood is the continuation of the life and ministry of Christ. I pray constantly for our priests, our seminarians, and for all young men that they might have open hearts and ears to listen to God's call. I was at the seminary last week, hosting an event. There are remarkable candidates for the priesthood these days. And as I was sitting there with one of them at the fireplace at Brute, he said to me, giving up a wife and family, I just don't know if God could ever be enough for me. I assured him that if only you had a clue what you get back when you lay down your life for Jesus and Mary. Sometimes as I sit in my chapel late at night in the rectory, making my daily gratitude list, my eyes watering, considering all the graces God lets me see and be a part of as his priest. We pray that God will shower our archdiocese, our parishes, with many holy priestly vocations. Now I want to consider briefly what the most important thing is that the priest does, make the Eucharist. In the Eucharistic celebration, each priest has the audacity to hold up for what all appearances is a piece of bread and a cup of common wine, and he says, here is God. And it is. Our lives depend upon it. The Last Supper was the first Mass. Jesus gives us his body and blood, and he is the life. He puts divinity into our veins. At Holy Mass, when you get in line for communion, we are participating. We're not just commemorating or witnessing. We are participating in the miracle of the Eucharist, the miracle of Jesus Christ. We receive divine DNA and become one in Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. And we are no longer simple servants or even followers of Christ. We are in him. And he is in us. The Eucharist is divine love made flesh for you and for me. And with a meal that cost him his life, he spreads the table and invites us there. No greater love is there than this, says Jesus, than to lay down one's life for his friends. My favorite symbol of the Eucharist is the one that is etched in on the tabernacle here. It's a pelican. Because the mother pelican, when her child has nothing left to eat, will pluck out her own flesh and feed her child, even to the point of dying. And that is Jesus. The Lord, he gives us at this and every Mass the gift that cost his life and gives us life, his body and blood. And after he did that, our Lord washed the feet. Our Protestant friends call today Maundy Thursday because the word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatus, which means commandment. Jesus gives us an incredible commandment, but also an example of service in washing the feet of his apostles. And we too are called to serve beyond what we're comfortable with. We are, like Christ, called to love others until the end without condition, without reservation, just as he did. No matter how dirty the job, how above it we may fashion ourselves to be, God invites, we serve. And when I think about the St. Vincent de Paul Society, dinner before bedtime, the projects of charity our youth and school do, our prayer shawl ministry, the Habitat for Humanity house we built, the mission trip we did, our support for our sister parish, our food pantries, support for Catholic charities, and the missionaries that come and visit us every year, my heart and my mind are blown. With generous hearts, we pray that we will always follow Christ's example and commandment to serve. The Eucharist, priesthood, and the mandate to serve, that is Holy Thursday. And those are the three ways that the presence and ministry of Jesus Christ continue today in and through his body, the church. We are never alone, never unaided, because we always have our priests, we always have the Eucharist, and we always have the call to serve. Our collection at this Mass will be split into three things. Support for our seminarians, Liam, Jose, and Tyler, number one. Number two, for service, a third of the collection will go to our sister parish in Guatemala. And for the Eucharist, a third of it will go to the Altar Society. Mass ends in a different way tonight. Mass ends with the procession to the side altar over here, the altar of repose. Jesus will be in the tabernacle until 11 o'clock tonight, which is about the hour that he was arrested in Gethsemane. Catholic churches around the world have altars of repose just like ours. It is where Jesus prayed. It reminds us of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed before his passion. And everybody's invited to stay after Mass, to pop in later on as well. Please pray there for your priests, for me, for Father Paul, for our seminarians. And pray in gratitude for the Holy Eucharist. We pray that God will help convict us more of his real presence every day. And we pray that God will help us always to understand where he is calling us to serve, and then give us the courage and the heart to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.